Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So recently we were talking about Pecos Bill becoming a Mexican food restaurant and saying, well, that's weird because there's Tortuga Tavern right next door that's a Mexican food restaurant. And Tortuga Tavern, which has the Spanish word for turtle in the name, has become a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, so essentially what it felt like Disney was replicating, they have now unreplicated by turning the Old West place into the Mexican food place, and the sounds like it could be a Mexican food restaurant into the barbecue place.
Yeah. So I don't have any idea what the heck is going on, because that makes it, by the end of the episode that we talked about Pecos Bill, I felt like the change to Mexican food could be okay. And that I kind of, you know, was willing to disassociate the Pecos Bill name with Mexican food if it was good. But now that they've made Tortuga Tavern a barbecue restaurant, I have no idea what they're thinking.
Apparently, they're just thinking, hey, Mexican food? Yeah, just put that somewhere. Hey, barbecue? Yeah, just put that somewhere. I mean, at least that's what it feels like to me. Because, I mean, Tortuga Tavern is also in Adventureland, right?
Right.
What about Adventureland screams? I mean, don't get me wrong. I recognize barbecue is not Old West specific, folks, but still, if barbecue and Mexican food, I can so much more naturally see barbecue in Frontierland and Mexican food in Adventureland. It's just the way that it is. But regardless, Disney made this decision, and so now we've got, you know, barbecue sandwiches and salads at Tortuga.
And no Mexican food at all.
No. Well, I don't know. Do you consider the roasted corn and vegetable salad to be Mexican? The versions of it that are not topped with barbecue beef or barbecue chicken.
I think that's a leap that Evel Knievel would have trouble making. So, no.
Okay. I do wonder, why don't they have a... Why is one of the salads not topped with pork? Because essentially they have three sandwiches, pork, chicken, and beef. They have three salads, regular, beef, and chicken. And you know it's the same beef and the same chicken that go on the sandwich and on the salad. So why doesn't the pork... What's up with the pork? Why can the pork not stand on a salad? What's in the pork?
Maybe there's a pork shortage in Florida.
Maybe so. So, yeah. But now you can go to Tortuga Tavern if you ever get that hankering for some old down home barbecue, go to Adventureland. If you ever feel like going south of the border, go to Frontierland. Welcome to the Magic Kingdom.
So we've talked about in the past Soarin' getting another screen and a new digital projection show. And we knew that the name was going to be Soarin' Around the World, but they have now announced, in Orlando at least, that Soarin' will be closing early 2016 and reopening in the summer of 2016. So it seems like it's going to be closed for about 6 months so they can refurb the screens, put new projectors in, add this new Soarin' Around the World show, and to build a completely new theater. Another thing that I didn't know about before I read this article was that Soarin' Around the World will be tailored to what park that you are in. So Orlando will have a show that's different than Anaheim, that's different than, you know, Tokyo, and everyone will have a different show that's the park that they're in, which is good because I think it's fun to have a different attraction depending on where you are. But it doesn't really make sense to me because if I'm in Orlando, I don't really need to soar over Orlando. You know, I think it would be more fun to soar over somewhere else. And then, like, if I'm in Anaheim, maybe let me soar over Orlando. Or if I'm in Asia, let me soar over Anaheim. So I don't really understand that choice so much because you're already there. And I think I was hoping that soaring over California would maybe stay in places that weren't California, and soaring over Orlando or soaring over, you know, somewhere else would go to other places.
Okay, so I'm working under the assumption that this is going to be a slight adjustment in the show. The current Soarin' Over California is split up into multiple sections. We all know, you know, you've got like where you're flying over the mountains. You've got the going over the golf course. You've got the flying over the people fishing. So it's got all these different sections. And I would assume that when they say, you know, that it will be different or geared toward whichever park you're in, they're talking about like maybe 1 to 2 sections will be geared toward that. And I'm actually kind of excited about that, because for me, the first time that I saw Soarin', it was at Epcot. And honestly, it kind of took me out of it a little bit when the last scene of that film is you're flying into, you know, into Disneyland, you know, and you're flying over the parade at Disneyland and, you know, the fireworks go off. And I just always thought, man, that's, you know, it suddenly feels like this is disjointed, because if I'm in Orlando, my idea of Disneyland is the Magic Kingdom. And so I want to fly over the Magic Kingdom for that last scene. The rest of it, I would say keep, you know, but just give me the Magic Kingdom, and maybe Orlando is the city that we go through on the next to the last scene.
Agreed. Yeah, I definitely felt the same way the first time I did Soarin'. I was like, oh, it's Disneyland. But we're not at Disneyland.
Right. There's just something that, like I said, for me, felt like it was a weird kind of disconnect when that wasn't there. So if they change the whole thing to where it's like, oh, look, here's all shots of Florida and like 2 shots of California and 2 shots of Tokyo, that's going to be annoying. But if it's, you know, here's 95% the same film and just here's the end section or whatever section they choose to make, here's this one section that's more related to where you are right now. In fact, heck, fly it into the park where it is. Fly it into California Adventure at Disney, you know, over in California. Fly it into Epcot at Walt Disney World, you know, so that it's super specific to where you are. And I think that could be really cool, too. So it feels like, boom, you're just right outside where you just walked in.
That would be cool.
But yeah, so I think that can be okay, and again, benefit of the doubt, I'm trusting that Disney's not just going to go overkill. Sure. And I also like the fact that that's going to give this attraction some rewritability, because when I went to California Adventure, last year, that was kind of, you know, it's like you walked into Soarin', and once you got in and you're on it, you're like, oh yeah, so this is exactly what I would when I did at Epcot, with a much better. With a much better screen and much better projector, because they already have the digital projection, I think.
I think you're right.
So that was a plus. But yeah, to me, the bigger part of this story is 6 months with no Soarin'. So I think when we both initially heard about the third theater, we had talked about, well, maybe they're going to, you know, transition a theater and then go back and transition the other theaters or something like that. But this is the entire attraction is going to be shut down for half of a year.
Yeah, it really does seem like they could build that third showroom, you know, without disturbing the rest of the attraction. But closing for 6 months makes me think that the entire show building is going to get refurbed, and they're going to have to build new, you know, a new queue and, you know, new pathways and stuff that will split off 3 ways, because man, 6 months is a long time to replace some projectors and to replace a screen.
Yeah. I don't understand why the third theater has to wait for it, but whatever's going on, dude, this is going to really screw up the fast pass situation.
Yeah.
For Epcot, because it's this attraction and Test Track, you know, those are the main 2 attractions. So what the heck? Dude, what are Test Track lines going to be like when there's no Soarin' to suck people in?
So I'm wondering what the land pavilion area is going to be like when Soarin's not there. You know, Living with the Land is in there, and there's that Lion King environmental show upstairs. But, I mean, other than those restaurants in there now, there's not really much reason for a lot of people to go into that building even anymore.
Can I be really mean? I'm kind of pumped about being able to go to Sunshine Seasons and not
without
have
a whole
to
bunch
fight
of
the crowd, because so much of the crowd that was there, I felt like came there because of Soarin' being there, and they shouldn't be around. So I should be able to go get my amazing quick service food from Sunshine Seasons without having to fight people.
Yeah, I would think that's definitely the case.
But the bigger thing is I won't be able to go do Soarin', and I will miss that. So yeah, I don't know, dude. That's not going to be a well trafficked area without Soarin' there, I don't think.
But I think it's a safe bet that it's going to be open before the summer season really, you know, gets into full swing. Because if Soarin's not there during the summer, I mean, there's not a whole lot of reason for people to come to Epcot unless they're going to the World Showcase. I mean, I feel like Soarin' is what really brings people into Epcot. And if you're going to make FastPass Plus reservations for Epcot, you're making them for Soarin'. And that's getting you in. And then once you're in, you know, you might go to the World Showcase. You might go do Mission Space or Test Track. But I'm looking forward to seeing what that does to the traffic in Epcot in general.
Right. Well, now, I will say that, you know, you've got in May, you're going to have the Flower and Garden Festival. And you've got all those different sort of things that go on in Epcot that will bring people in. But sure, as you said, during the summer, that becomes a little bit of a different issue. And you not only need that attraction within Epcot to, I feel like, to stabilize the Epcot crowd, I feel like you also need it, as you said, to pull people into Epcot to stabilize the crowd control of all the parks as a whole. You don't need Epcot to go down, because then inevitably Magic Kingdom attendance goes up, and you know, and you're already struggling with the fact that, you know, DHS with closures isn't looking like a full day park anymore. DAC is still, I still don't feel like DAC is quite there. And you know, if you start making people feel like Epcot isn't a full day park either, I don't know. That's going to be a hard sell. So yeah, hopefully summer is more like end of May, early June, and not like late July, early August or something.
I think that would be devastating if it was late July, early August.
I agree, but they did not announce an exact date for when it comes back.
Yeah.
And that concerns me, because that means to me that they have, they're not 100% sure. I know that they have a target date in their minds, but whether it's weather or whatever it may be, something is keeping them from being able to say what that target date is. And that's kind of scary. So like I said, because without that, because I mean, during the busy times, what you can see a 90 to 120 minute wait at both Soarin' and Test Track, right? So what is it? What happened? Where do all the Soarin' sucks a lot of people in?
Yeah. The queue is like 3 miles long.
And about a quarter mile wide, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and those are big theaters, and there's two of them right now, and about to be three. Yeah, like I said, that's a lot of people that are suddenly going to be in other parts of that park, or as you said, just won't be in that park. So,
right.
It's going to be interesting, folks. If you're visiting after, I've seen January 3rd and January 4th, so very beginning of January.
Yeah,
Soarin' will be closed. If you're visiting after that and before the summer, good luck at Epcot, because it'll be weird.
Late December, early January, you're probably going to look at 4-hour waits for Soarin'. People getting in there before it closes. If Maelstrom was any guide to how long the waits will be, you know, Maelstrom's last day, it had like a 3-hour wait.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Wow. That's, well, and you're also adding that it's going to be the Christmas New Year crowd. Mixed with the "I gotta go see the original Soarin' one last time" crowd,
right?
Yeah. Hope Soarin's the only thing you wanted to do that day.
Yeah.
So I had a question. If you could only ride one attraction for the rest of your Disney life, what would that attraction be?
That is so tough, because there are so many good attractions.
There are. You're essentially saying I'm never going to get to ride every other attraction.
Right.
You're not only saying this is the one that I'm going to commit to, but I'm decommitting from all these other attractions.
Brad asked me this about 4 hours ago, and I had a short list in my head, and I narrowed it down, and I narrowed it down, and I narrowed it down, and I came to two attractions, and the one that I picked was Splash Mountain. The one that I was pitting that one against was the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
So you want to fall a lot in your in your one attraction.
Yes. I mean, if I go back and look at what I've enjoyed the most every time I've gone to Disney, it's been the Tower of Terror and Splash Mountain. And the reason I picked Splash Mountain is, one, it's a longer attraction. It has more of a fun kind of whimsical story to it. And I think that I would, if I only could ride that, you know, 10 times a day, I think that that one, minus the song, I think the song would drive me a little crazy. But I think that attraction, and this is the Walt Disney World version, but I think that attraction would, that would be the one that I would pick.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, I definitely can see where that one would come from, but then you can't ride the Tower of Terror, then you can't ride Rock and Roller, then you can't ride It's a Small World. I know, big loss for you there.
Actually, it's tough.
I like It's a Small World, so. Yeah, I don't know, dude. When I heard this question, I was just like, oh. Because, again, like you, I focus so much more on what I can't do anymore than even what I would get to do, but...
If this was reality, what I would need is from main gate, I would need a portal or a tunnel or something that would just put me in the queue of Splash Mountain. So I didn't have to walk past anything and I didn't have to like see Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and I didn't have to see Space Mountain over there, and I didn't have to see, you know, all the Pirates of the Caribbean and all the other things that are in the Magic Kingdom.
So what was that? Okay, so this is a little bit of a tangent, but it is still related. What was the movie with, I want to say it was Jim Carrey. Wasn't there like some movie that he did where like they could like make you forget things in your past or something like that?
Oh, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes, yes. I would need that ability here because I would need you to erase from my brain the fact that any other attraction existed. And then, like you said, just shoot me straight into the queue and make me think that's the only attraction. And I don't know, maybe then I could be happy. But
so what did you pick?
Oh, gosh. After much soul searching, I decided to go with the Haunted Mansion.
Hmm. Wow. That's very interesting to me.
And so I don't know. I just started thinking about it and I'm like, I love Disney's dark rides, and that one just, I mean, it just has so much going on in it. There's a lot to look at there. There's a lot to take in there. So I felt like that was something that could hold my interest, for a good long time. So,
well, and if you're talking the Disneyland version, you get, Haunted Mansion Holiday for,
that's
3
true.
Months out of the year.
That's true. And I am actually taught, I did stick to Walt Disney World, which means that I don't get Holiday. I wish that I did get Holiday. I wish that we had Holiday at Walt Disney World. And I know there are some people that hate me for that, but that's okay. I still want it. But yeah. Yeah, I think Haunted Mansion is where I would have to go. And here's the thing, though. I don't even know if that makes Haunted Mansion my favorite attraction.
Right, yeah, it's not, because Tower of Terror is my favorite. But the one, it's not one that I would want to ride over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, totally to the point where I was unable to ride anything else. So yeah, it's not my favorite attraction, but I still pick it anyway.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was thinking, you know, of the attractions that I've done, an attraction that I've ridden multiple times is Mission Space. But the concept of riding that over and over and over and over and over again, trust me, after about the third time, that attraction goes from this is awesome to I'm feeling a little queasy.
Right.
And the 10th time, it would be they didn't put enough sick bags in here. So,
right.
Yeah. But like I said, I think Haunted Mansion. You know, I think that's where I would go. And you know what? If I ask the same question to myself again next week, it would very likely be a different attraction. But I'm gonna go with Haunted Mansion there.
If we say Disneyland, does your choice change? Mine does.
I think I know where your choice is going to go, and I think it's the same place that my choice was going to go, because it was the one other thing that I was kind of thinking about.
What do you think?
I was thinking Pirates.
Yep, that's where mine goes. See, at Disneyland.
See, because Pirates is a longer attraction over there.
And it's superior to the one in Orlando.
Definitely, definitely.
And Splash Mountain is inferior to the one in Orlando, in Anaheim.
So then it pulls you away from Splash.
Right, so I go to Pirates in Disneyland.
And you know what's weird is, to me, like, as I thought about this, like, I'm kind of surprised that Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and I guess it's because it's your favorite attraction, even made it into the list for you. Because to me, as much as I love the more thrilling attractions, you know, I'm thinking Space Mountain, Expedition Everest, Mission Space, you know, as much as I love those attractions, they wouldn't make it on the list for me. For something like that. For that, I, like I said, I immediately started to gravitate back toward the dark rides, the, you know, the more classic attractions, really.
And Tower of Terror is my favorite attraction for mostly nostalgic reasons. My dad was a huge Twilight Zone fan, and on Memorial Day and Labor Day and some of those like Monday, Friday holidays, the Sci-Fi Channel used to play Twilight Zone all weekend. And my dad would just sit there for 12 hours a day and watch Twilight Zone. And so when I go into Tower of Terror, I get nostalgic for, you know, when my dad used to sit and watch Twilight Zone. And I think that has a lot to do with it, because I can go in and I can appreciate that for a reason that maybe nobody else does.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and
that's why.
That's the thing. Even though I say that's a thrilling attraction, all the thrilling attractions are really, really good attractions, too. But, yeah, I can see how Twilight Zone, with all that stuff, would have that extra pull for you. But, yeah, so Splash Mountain and Haunted Mansion, here we come forever.
Well, I think that'll about do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.